This is Chris Porteous from My SEO Sucks and SearchEye, and you're listening to EA Interviews.
EA Interviews, episode 245.
Inspiration, transformation, success stories, and the imperfect action round. 7 days a week. Join Mario Ficini for today's Expert Authority Effect interview.
Do you want more leads and traffic? Does your SEO suck? I know mine has in the past, and I want to dive right into this. I have Chris Porteous on the show today, and he is from myseosucks.com. We're going to be diving in how to get you more leads and traffic, what to do to fix all your digital assets, online properties, and not to just have it as one part of your marketing funnel, but company-wide. I'm going to bring them up right after we thank our sponsor. Every business needs a book, including yours. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Porteous. Chris, how are you feeling today?
Great. Thanks for having me, Mario.
I want to ask you, what is so important about SEO? I've heard some people say you need to have everything dialed in, and I've heard other people say, you know what, I don't even mess around with it. What's your take on it?
It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, if you talk to the guys in like the paid search space or paid marketing space, they kind of look at SEO, like, why would I want to spend, you know, 3, 6, 9, 12 months kind of building out a content marketing SEO strategy? But ultimately, what you're doing is you're building a moat around your business. So the more content you build, the better it's repurposed, you know, being promoted on Quora and other avenues. You start really kind of building a business that's reliant on organic traffic, which builds, you know, a higher value asset, gets you leads coming in over time, and really builds like a really nice kind of passive lead generation strategy.
Now, you said a few keywords there. I'm going to dive deeper on. You said building a moat around your business and passive strategy. Let's start with the moat. Why is this important?
Well, building out like an SEO or content strategy is much different than, you know, a traditionally kind of paid AdWords type strategy. With content, you're building out content, you're building out these 5,000, 10,000 word guides. You're kind of putting that across the internet. You're building videos, putting on YouTube, repurposing in social, email marketing. You start building those funnels. So what happens is it becomes much more difficult to replicate that process than it is kind of running a paid type strategy. And that's where the moat comes in. So when you're building out this content, the more you build, the more you're targeting, the more you're hitting, it becomes much more difficult for competitors to meet and kind of build similar type strategies without, you know, spending a lot of resources and a lot of time on it.
So what I'm hearing here is the paid strategy isn't bad necessarily, but anyone can duplicate it. You can grab the headline, you can grab the title, you can grab, make a funnel and just start putting money at it and getting traffic. But once you turn that off, you're kind of done. What you're proposing is building a moat around the business, which is a longer term game plan, because you're not going to do this overnight. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Paid strategies are absolutely fantastic to start with. You can get a lot of data from it. You can see what's working, what's not working. And you can kind of scale that and then produce a content or an SEO kind of organic strategy based around that over time.
So the other thing you were talking about was passive strategy. Why is passive so just great?
Well, I use the word passive. I mean, it's like when you're for example, with the 4-hour work week, it never happens. I mean, everyone's trying to get to that point, but it's, you always end up putting more on your plate, keep on building it up, et cetera, et cetera. But what's great about in the context of like an organic or a content marketing strategy is once those funnels are built, unlike paid search, they keep on running basically on autopilot. Yeah, you're going to want to kind of continue scaling it up, continue growing it, continue improving it. But ultimately, once that content's produced, you have that digital PR, link building strategy in place. Even if you were to spend zero resources going forward, you're still going to have that organic strategy in place, and it's still going to be generating leads and new business and revenue.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I consider my show very much in the same vein. And I treat every single episode like it's a work of art, because you might listen to it 3 years from now. You might have listened to it 5 years from now. But if you have that one piece, you know, in the terms of a show, you have the episode. With your business, you have content, you have the blogs, you have all the different things you're mentioning. But I love the idea of you talking about building a moat around it, because the more you have out there, yeah, I can give you all my funnels, I can give you all the ads and say, here's what we've ran. And you can throw some money at it and put all that out there. And it's all well and good. I highly advise paid advertising. But I also like the SEO, because I've got stuff on YouTube. I've got stuff all over the internet from over a decade ago. And there ain't no way you're building up over a decade or two of stuff, probably in even under a year. I mean, you need a pretty significant team working around the clock. Maybe you could pull it off in a year content-wise, but it's just a ton of work.
Exactly. And what's great about that, like taking your show as an example, you know, being on YouTube, you know, maybe you're on Vimeo, you're on other different mediums, as well as, you know, different podcasting sites. People are searching for you either organically, not just for you, but maybe you did an interview on someone in the SaaS marketing space or the local SEO space. And people are searching those keywords and they could stumble across your podcast. So like over time, even if you stopped any marketing, your podcast is still going to be getting visitors every day.
That's inspiring for me. That's a huge value add just for anyone with a podcast. But speaking to expert authority world here, all business owners, I mean, it's like, why wouldn't you do something that last, you know, here's another thing that last past you. Not just, oh, I can do it this year and get the benefit for the next couple of years. But it's like, what do you do after you're gone? What if you want to sell the business and exit? You still have all those assets working for you. So where would you say is the best place for someone to start if they go, this sounds like a ton of work. I know it's going to be a ton of work. And that's why I've put it off. What could we do to get them thinking right now today saying, but today's the last day I'm going to put it off because I now see all the benefits. What's the first place they should start?
Yeah, no. And for sure, for some context there, one of the challenges when you're saying, why don't you do this? We have our own internal processes for MySEO Sucks. And every time we produce a guide, it's, you know, 6,000 word piece. It's going through QC. We get quotes from other authority kind of leaders in the space. We do a video, it gets promoted, it goes onto our Facebook group, there's email marketing, we build funnel. Like it ends up being 40, 50, 60 subtasks just to do one guide. So I can see that being very daunting for a business owner who's already tapped out, you know, especially, you know, with COVID and everything else going on. They're dealing with so many different things right now. And this is just one extra thing to throw on your plate. So there's definitely a challenge there. And I met with a company yesterday, absolutely fantastic, very well-run business. They're in the finance space. They wanted to start content marketing or SEO. They didn't know where to start. And I recommended, let's not dive in here. They're kind of pre-market fit, and suggested, why don't we take overall theme, they're in the option space, and let's build a really kick-ass guide on options trading. Something, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 words. We'll hit kind of different targets, different keywords, different strategies, and we can take that content and repurpose it later on, but at least we have a starting point. So for a business owner, I always recommend kind of dip your toes in it, find one or two things that you specialize in and that you know very well, and produce a really great piece that you would want to share with everyone inside and outside of your business.
So you're saying to do a guide.
I use guides as an example, but any type of highly engaging, I love long form content, and that's our specialty. We moved away from, you know, 300 to 500 word blog posts about a year ago, and we really kind of focus on building out these 5,000 to 10,000 word guides that are very in depth, especially with the way kind of Google's algorithm is moving, focusing on quality and really kind of showcasing experts in the space and leaders. Building these guides are a great way. A, they're highly shareable. You can incorporate quotes, information, videos, infographics, etc.
Testimonials.
So highly shareable. And then you can also, testimonials are absolutely fantastic. And you can just kind of break that into pieces and share it on other, or repurpose it later on, you know, potentially parts of it on Quora, maybe snippets on social media, or turn part of it into a video. So that's why I really like guides. And it kind of showcases you as an expert in your field.
So why has Google shifted? You're saying you don't do short stuff anymore, and 300 to 500 words I wouldn't say is super short, but what has shifted over the years from going from, let's just say, 1,000 words or less to 6 or 8,000 words? Because, you know, being a publisher, I hear 6, 8,000 words, I'm like, it's like a quarter of a book. I mean, that's pretty significant. That's no joke right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Ultimately, it comes down to search intent. So for us, like, we're targeting top of the funnel type keywords. For example, we did a guide recently on SaaS marketing. And if you look at the intent there, it's people looking for information and resources on SaaS marketing, whether that's SEO, content, understanding churn, and other types of metrics. It has a different intent. So we want to really make sure we're hitting that, and we're adding a lot of value add, and we're being seen as a leader in that space. So that's the approach we take. But again, you have different, it really depends on the intent. If it's a product page, you're not writing a 6,000 word, you know, product description. That would just be next to impossible. And it wouldn't even necessarily satisfy Google's intent. So it all comes down to intent, what people are searching for, what they're looking for, and then building content around that intent.
What would you suggest for a product? If someone does have a product that's listening right now and they're going, wow, 6 to 8,000 words, that's a bit much. Where would you say you should aim?
I never like to look at word count as defined. Okay. Again, it really goes back to intent. Like, we use some really cool tools out there. There's MarketMuse, there's Phrase, ClearScope, where you plug in your keyword and it would recommend a word count based on the top kind of 30 pages ranking in search.
So it could, depending on the product, it might say 800, or it could be 2,200.
Yeah, or a product, it could even be 50 or 100 words, just a quick description. Maybe people aren't looking for content, they're looking for images, they're looking. Yeah, it's all over the place. And it really depends on the intent. But for content itself, and, you know, let's say you have a product site, great things you can do to satisfy, maybe you're not trying to rank for a specific product, but a certain kind of niche or category, you could build listicles. You could build like a, you know, top 10 XYZ, for example, and that could be like a 3,000 to 5,000 word guide that looks at the kind of top 10 products in the space, what they look for, what you want to look for when you're buying it, where you can buy it, and kind of be as in-depth as possible.
Excellent. So other than guides, is there anything else you could recommend that someone try out if in addition to the guide or in place of it?
Yeah, absolutely. You're doing a fantastic job on the video marketing side.
Thank you.
You're doing this podcast, you're kind of repurposing it. No, absolutely. And it goes back to building that moat. It's just so difficult. Like, the time you put into it, you know, the equipment, the setup, getting the processes down, the bookings, like, it's very in depth. And that's also a great way to market. Like, we have clients who are publishing, you know, 3-4 videos a month alongside long form content. And what we'll do with that is we'll put those videos on YouTube. We'll translate them, we'll build chapters, we'll have a nice intro, outro, and we'll market that on the same, you know, same long form pieces of the content, as well, you know, on Quora and other avenues. And it works really well. YouTube videos especially rank, you know, much more naturally in search, depending on like what keywords you're trying to target and hit. So there's a lot of opportunities there and a lot of low hanging fruit, you know, for a business owner. Maybe they don't have time to you know, write out a 3,000 to 4,000 word guide, you know, if they're a roofer, for example, on, you know, how to install or repair a metal roof, but they're comfortable doing a 20-minute video showing them do it, which ultimately for a user, that could be much more valuable. And
Yeah,
it could
just mic them
arguably
up with a
rival than,
lavalier,
you know,
get a drone,
traditional.
get some drone footage, and you're good to go.
Oh, absolutely. You're really escalating the production value there.
It's actually easier
Already.
because,
I just meant, you know, simple, yeah.
you know, especially if someone's on a roof, I would not advise trying to balance and then trying to get the shot. Like, hey, check that. Like, it would be 10 times safer to use a drone, and then you could just use a wireless lav, and I mean, that would be easy. And then you could just work normally. Because that's the thing
Yeah.
when you're shooting, like, even now, is the whole reason I have this on a boom arm, because I can still be natural, but still be capturing it the way I want to. Because let's be honest, most people don't walk around with a camera and a microphone on them 24/7. I don't even do that. So it's like, not just how can we get the best shot, but also how can you do it where you can still come across as natural and be comfortable in the environment or the subject? So you're saying the
Yeah,
videos are
absolutely.
another
And on,
thing, just like the guide.
yeah, absolutely. It's another form of content. And if you look how people are consuming content nowadays, like podcasts are growing at a rapid rate. I think it's, you know, 161 million Americans listen to a podcast monthly or something like that now. And then with this work from home and everything else going on, it's just only growing from there. So the way we're consuming content is much different. Long form content ranks well. It's not ultimately, you know, the best option depending on, you know, search intent and what people are looking for. But if you compare that with videos, it could be even like 1 or 2 minute, you know, audio clip of that long form guide, and you start pairing that all together, you start seeing really remarkable results.
Well, I appreciate you for sharing the insider success secrets. I want to know, how'd you get into this?
You know what? I've always been an entrepreneur. When I was 12 years old, I built my first website, and it was
Nice.
kind of modeled after Dell's website, where you could go pick out all your computer parts, click, you know, buy, and then I would ship the computer to you. I think my first few I didn't build right, and they like broke when they got shipped. It was a disaster, but I kept on going with it. And so I was always entrepreneurial, like even as far as, you know, I could bike to the store and buy product and resell it. In university, I had a fast growing macro finance blog. And then after university, I started randomly a cardboard furniture business where, you know, we built the world's largest cardboard beach. We did projects for like the Swiss government, the Canadian government, a lot of stuff for, you know, corporate USA. And we're doing a lot of cool, innovative things there. And I never saw myself as, you know, wanting to be an entrepreneur. It just kind of happened. I saw these opportunities. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. I want to jump into it. And now how I got into SEO is I built all of those businesses ultimately on search marketing.
Oh,
And so I'm like, well,
really?
if I can, if this is working for me, yeah, it's been always the core of every business that we've built. Even, you know, how we attract our clients is all through search marketing. So we drink our own Kool-Aid. We build these
What
processes for
flavor?
us, our own businesses, and then we, oh, I gotta go with grape.
Okay.
Definitely the top there. And yeah, ultimately what we do for ourselves, we scale for our clients. So we're not trying to do something different for ourselves, because you know, you see a lot of companies, they treat, you know, their own businesses like their baby, but then for clients, they're doing what is considered kind of bare minimum. We use the same processes. We've scaled our processes across our own affiliate sites, our own lead gen sites, as well as, you know, our clients' businesses.
I love that you do that, because I'm very much subscribed to that also. If I haven't done it or taught someone, I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, you should try this, this, and this, and this, and this, everything I've done. You know, if you're asking how to publish the books and or even the podcasting now, it's like, here's what I've done, here's what works, here's the reason why. Well, I heard XYZ. I'm sure it works for them that way. Never done it. Can't recommend it, but here's what I advise. So that's great that you're
Yeah,
doing it for
absolutely.
yourself. But that's also astonishing when you said, I built my first website. I was like, yeah, so did I. But it wasn't an e-commerce site. And then you were selling computers on top of that? That's pretty complex.
Yeah, I don't know how it got to that point, but it was a great learning experience, that's for sure.
I've designed and built computers, but I never in my life was like, oh yeah, I'll do it for you too. I think maybe my sister, like a decade ago, I offered it for my niece and nephew, but I've never promoted it as a. To your point exactly with the warranty, and what do you do in 3 years later if someone turned it on the wrong way? Well, now you're on the hook for,
Ooh.
it's your fault because you're the one who built it, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely. Those are things, as you know, I was 12, 13 years old. I'm not thinking about, warranties,
Yeah.
chargebacks, expansion revenue, logistics, operations,
MRR.
scaling it. Yeah, exactly.
No, that's cool though. I started my first business at 12 and sold it to start this one when I was in college. So I definitely get it. Yeah, definitely not thinking about all the stuff I was. Definitely wasn't thinking about all the stuff I am now, but there's part of me where it's like, I kind of wish I could just go back and just be like, ignorant and bliss. Because I just went full throttle and it was like, ah, who cares what happens? And a lot of the times it was good. There was a few times it wasn't. But it was just so much fun. I love starting stuff up because it's just like you see this. Even when I started this show, it was just like it's brand new. It's fresh. I get to do everything I learned. I get to incorporate this time around instead of, 10%. I'm running in with 160%.
Exactly. You get them molded after what you've learned in the past for your, from your other businesses, whether it's successes, failures, everything you do. And that's why experience is so valuable. Everything you do is a learning experience in one way or another.
Yeah, that's a great attitude, and I'm glad you're looking at it that way because some people are like, oh, I failed two, three times and give up. It's like, yeah, it's the fourth time that you would have nailed it. It's a tough one. Can't speak for everyone, but
Yeah,
I
no,
know what I'm
absolutely.
choosing. So let's talk about your clients. What's your biggest success story? Or who, or.
So, I actually, they're my first client that I did or worked on SEO for. Back before then, I was kind of doing SEO for my own, finance sites, affiliate sites, as well as that cardboard furniture business. And a friend of mine's like, "Hey, I have a client. They're looking for SEO. Are you interested?" And I'm like, "I don't know what I'm doing." I knew the basics of SEO. I was doing it myself, but I've never actually like done any account management before. I've never like, how do I price this? What's the scope? Like, what's involved here? This was my first time kind of going into it. They were a local law firm based out here in Toronto, and when I started with them, I believe there was three lawyers. And I remember going to their office. It was super small. They were burnt by multiple SEO firms in the past. And they're like, "You know what? Like, I went in very honest. I was very truthful, transparent. Here's what I've done. You need someone who's gonna like work really hard. You need someone who's gonna be through that, not just an agency who's, kind of just doing hours and hoping for results." So they brought me on, and from there they have gone from three lawyers at the time to, I believe, they're 50 plus. They're one of the most well-known, kind of recognizable brands in Canada. We've done a great job scaling them. SEO, I like to take credit for, all that growth, but obviously SEO is just one part of that. But where they did a really good job was saying, what we, this was back, 4 or 5 years ago, the digital space is going to be, at the time it was growing quickly, but it's going to be huge. This is going to be by and large our largest marketing funnel. We want to go full throttle on it. And they invested heavily into digital. They made the right moves and they were able to scale much quicker than any of their competitors.
Well, good for them for, the growth, and good for you for just being you, because there's a lot of people who could have just said, we'll look at this short term, but you still got them as a client. Props to them for making the right decision and going, you know what, let's look into this, because that's the thing. Everyone goes, oh yeah, I wish I would have bought stock in Google. When they started, it's like, you need to be real in sync with someone to trust them at the right time And that goes both ways. That really goes both ways. So props to both of you.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's in the SEO space, it's tough. Most of the clients we work with have been burnt, you know, 2-3 times. And it's really tough. If you're a local business owner, you've already hired 2 or 3 agencies, you've been burnt, no results, you spent, you know, potentially tens of thousands of dollars. It's disheartening. And you're like, do I want to stick with it? And ultimately it works. If you're investing in the right areas, even within SEO, it does work. There is that payback, but it's really tough finding those people in the space who know what they're talking about and know how to kind of build and scale an agency that's going to drive consistent results for clients.
What would you say to someone who may have been burnt before, which is probably everyone that's been in business at some point? More, I mean, even if you've been in 6 months or a year, I'm thinking back to my first 6 months and it's like, yep, 3 times. So I don't think it's so much how long you've been in business, but what would you, because I don't see SEO going anywhere. The internet is nothing new, but it's also not going anywhere. It's still data, images, text, and video. It's all data, but you know what I mean? There's only a few core components, and SEO, I'd say, is kind of important.
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest thing for business owners, again, when I talk about building the moat, you can hire an SEO agency who is doing, you know, technical SEO, which is kind of tinkering with your site, you know, some changes to meta descriptions, meta titles, maybe a little bit of link building, which are mentions on third-party sites, but they could be low quality. It could be something on a directory or, you know, I've seen links on very low quality porn and adult sites. I'm like, this isn't good, guys. Like, who'd you hire? What's going on? And ultimately, that's what even, you know, Google's trying to get away from when they're ranking businesses and focusing more on content, high quality mentions. So as a business owner, like, SEO works. It does, but it's like how are you leveraging those resources or, you know, your spend or budget. And if you're investing it in really good quality content, whether it's videos, long form pieces of content, or digital PR, you're getting mentions on, you know, for us, we try to get 5 to 10 mentions on really high authority news sites every month, whether it's like, you know, keep.com, ActiveCampaign, MailChimp, like well-known recognizable sites. Regardless of what, you know, Google's algorithm does or where search goes, those high quality mentions can never be taken away.
Especially when you're dealing with an age domain, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you combine that with, you know, the brand itself, you can have featured on in your signature. You have, you know, we've been featured here. Check out our recent article here. If you have videos, like, you can, what you're doing with SEO, you should be able to want to take that and cross promote it and kind of use it across your business, not just look at SEO as kind of a separate component. And that's where you're going to have the most success.
So doing the cross promotion, not just a one-time deal.
Yeah, treating SEO as a core of your business versus, you know, we hired an SEO guy, he's handling it, we're good. It should be all the different kind of channels working together to leverage what you're doing on the SEO side. So leveraging the content you're doing, leveraging the digital PR you're doing, the outreach and everything else. And bring it all together.
Okay. Got one more question before we go to something fun. Well, this whole thing's fun. I don't know why I say that, but we're going to go to a different segment and you'll see in a second. Whatever. So my question is for someone that's listening and wants to say, you know what, this sounds good. I want to invest more in SEO and, like you said, digital. Clearly, you know, nothing's going offline anytime soon. What percentage of their marketing or what percentage of the overall budget, the profits, how much do you think someone should be allocating to say, here's what's realistic, but I will get a result from it? Because like you said, if someone's been burned, they don't want to go, here's another $50,000, $100,000 at this, or even 10. But at the same point, I know some people go, well, I tried it. They use that $100 coupon Google gives them. And it's like, well, I put $100 a month at it. It's like, I don't know if that's the solution either. What's your take?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen with a lot of our clients before, coming on board, the value they would put a much higher value on, a bus ad or a billboard or radio or TV, and they have no problem spending, for example, here I can't speak for rates in different cities, but to get like a 30-second ad on the local news could be, anywhere from $3,500 to 5,000 for a 30-second view. And you have to do that multiple times, daily, weekly, keep on hitting them over the head till that message resonates with them. And you're not necessarily even targeting the right customer with that. So a lot of companies are fine with traditional media buys. We've done some media buying in the past, multi-million dollar budgets. But the digital side of it, especially organic, might only be 1 or 2% of that. And ultimately, that doesn't make sense. So I like to look at, breaking out, depending on the size of the business, what they're doing, breaking out digital versus traditional. Maybe it starts off as, 40% digital, 60% traditional, and over time it becomes 60% digital, 70% digital, 80% digital. On the SEO side specifically, it does cost a lot of money to produce. Like think about your with your podcast. There's equipment. There's time, resources, editing. If you want a really good product, it does take a lot of resources. So to build a 5,000 word guide, you might hire someone if you don't do it yourself. Someone might take them a week to produce that content. Then you want to pair that with a video and these other kind of things. And that guide might end up costing, $3,000 to $5,000. But ultimately, if you're, let's say you're a lawyer, and that guide brings in, 3 to 5 leads a month. The value is there.
Yeah, especially if the average sale is probably $2,000, $5,000, $10,000. I would just, no matter where you're at, I can't imagine it being less than that.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
on average, 200 to 500 an hour for an attorney. So, and they're not doing stuff for just 1 hour generally, unless you know them and it's a favor, in which you still have to pay them. But you know what I mean? You put them on retainer, and you're up in the thousands right off the get-go. So that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate you breaking it down, because again, no one likes to get burned, but also, when you get three proposals from three companies, one's 10 grand, one's 20, one's 30, it's like, I have no clue what's the difference. If they can't articulate it, sorry. So that makes
Yeah,
sense.
absolutely.
So the
Yep.
fun thing I was talking about. Yeah, got it. It's the wheel of whatever. Forgot to put it in front of me today, but it's fine. So, my question for you is, oh, that's a good spin. We're going to let that baby go for a minute. Don't fall. Man, that's like real good. It's better than my rollerblade bearings. Okay, that's not going to stop anytime soon. So, I'm going to stop it. My question for you with SEO is, what is something you haven't tried, but you really, really want to because you think it will work?
Is this from my perspective or?
Like with the marketing and the SEO, is there something like cutting edge that you're like, wow, I could really see this being something big over the next few years, but it's not traditional or mainstay right now?
Yeah, right now SEO focuses, or at least what us and traditional agencies would focus on is, search in Google. But I think things are becoming a lot more decentralized. So building content on, 10, 15 different platforms. So I had this idea of with Quora marketing. So let's say I want to rank for personal injury lawyer. I would scrape maybe the top 50 questions for, site Quora.com, and then the keyword personal injury lawyer, scrape the top 50 questions and then provide comments for each of those questions. Basically, promoting yourself, promoting, the value, maybe a guide or a resource page or something like that. So doing a lot, not just in for search, so not just backlinks, not content on your site, but treating SEO as a lot more decentralized and kind of being everywhere. Because ultimately, if you look at where SEO is going, it's a lot like media buying. if you are everywhere on the street, so you're on the buses, you're on the billboards, everyone's going to know who you are. And that's the equivalent of what, you know, Google's trying to do in search. So the more places you are, the more places you're found, you're going to rank a lot higher. So that's something that we're putting more emphasis on. I think that's the future of SEO, not just optimizing for one search engine, but looking at, you know, the user, they're searching stuff, you know, with Open Graph, with Facebook. Are they searching on Quora? Are they searching, you know, on new platforms?
And Amazon too.
Content. Oh, absolutely. Amazon's, I would guess at this point, they're probably the second largest search engine. I haven't looked at the stats, but I know they have an awesome marketing platform for promoting your products.
Yeah, I've talked to my author clients about that in different audiences, because you're absolutely right with Google. It's no longer, if I'm on Google, I'm good. It's like people are on YouTube, Facebook, social, Twitter. They're all over the place, and Google. And the thing I've said in my own presentations is people can search for you all these other places, but if they're searching on Amazon, they're going to buy. You don't go on Amazon just randomly looking at stuff. If you're on Amazon, you're buying something, which means cash. You know, you can search till the day's long and everywhere else, but it's an interesting tidbit depending on what you're selling. But especially with books, it's like, do you want to, you know, obviously you want to be doing all of it, but it's like, it's something to consider, you know, the, like you're saying, the billboard placement versus the bus, what depends who's your demographic. If you know it's the bus is going to get you better results here versus the billboard over here, TV. And I don't know how any of those would just, this is me. I don't know how any of those would smoke anything online right now, but you know what I mean? It ultimately comes down to your demographics, but that's a interesting point you're making, because yeah, Google's great as far as search goes, but they're not the only game in town anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. But the challenge becomes, like, for us as an agency, how do you scale that? It's tough enough for clients to have, you know, a healthy enough budget to rank and search. Then you want to apply, you know, these different engines and kind of different strategies, and it, you know, those costs increase quickly. So we're really big on how can we scale that across different mediums, using kind of one piece of content. How can we take that and scale it versus you know, just focusing it on one kind of medium.
Yeah. And you're doing the right thing, because you focus on the one you can scale and you're going to get 10 times better results than doing a little bit on all of them, because you're not going to go deep enough to get that traction. And I think that's what a lot of people lack. There's so much opportunity. It's like, well, where do we start? But then even after you start, it's more importantly, where do you stay? Yeah, you can do all 15 of them, but do you need to? Do you want to? No.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to thank our sponsor and come back for more. That's what I should say, is more fun. The imperfect action round. You've heard me say every business needs a book, including yours. And it's true. And that's why you should visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit generating business book in 8 weeks. But you know what? Don't take my word for it. Take it from a few of my authors, like Lori.
And I went from having an idea and a possibility to actually getting my book published.
Or Catherine.
Thank you for making my mom number one best-selling author.
Or Mary Alice.
What he got done for me in 3 days regarding my book launch, unmanageable.
John Cody.
I've worked with Mario over the phone and online, and he's been very helpful in getting me where I needed to go with promoting my books.
Rocio.
There's no way in the world I would have been able to do this with somebody else. Again, I've attempted it in the past. It didn't serve me. As a matter of fact, I ended up more frustrated than anything. So this has been a very seamless process.
Adele.
If you're looking for an amazing business coach, I highly recommend Mario Ficini.
Or Bill Benner.
I can't make a higher recommendation than to work with Mario Ficini. He has been great for me, and right now I won't work with anybody else except for Mario.
Hey, their words, not mine. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now, and I look forward to hearing your transformation as the next video success story. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com. And we are back with the imperfect action round. Chris, are you ready to take imperfect action?
I'm ready to go.
All right, 60-second or less answers. I got a couple of questions for you. And the first one is, what is the fastest path to the profits?
Fastest path? Depending on your business, it would be sales. Nothing else matters. Even if you don't have a product, sales, reach out, get feedback, get them on, see what they're looking for. Maybe give them a discount for, you know, a pre-sign up, whatever it is. But that's definitely the quickest way.
Right. I love it. Number two, what is the biggest problem you see your prospects making and the fastest way for them to fix it?
For at least looking at like my clients, as well as prospects, is not treating SEO as part of their business, but treating it as just like one facet of their overall marketing.
Very true. Yeah, I've been on the wrong side of that before. My bad. Number three, what is the best way to maximize customer lifetime value?
The easiest is just reducing churn. It ultimately, if you have high churn, low retention rates, you're going to fail. Even if you're not in a recurring, you know, revenue model, if you're e-commerce, building out a product, doing whatever you can to get that customer coming back, making sure they're staying on. And the easiest way to do that is building a real awesome, you know, customer experience team. Someone who's reaching out to them, someone who's staying on top of it, someone who makes them feel like not just a client or a number, but part of the team.
Very, very good. Because ultimately, you know, it's the people around you. They're going to be supporting you for the years to come. It's not just a transaction.
Absolutely.
What books would you recommend to Expert Authority World that have made a difference in your life?
This is a little basic, but for me, the one that kind of changed my life and what really led me to build this SEO agency was 4-Hour Workweek. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but ultimately everything in there holds true. For me, after reading that, how can I outsource my job as quickly as possible? And that's been my obsession. Doesn't matter how complex it is. How can I build processes? How can I keep on scaling it and get me out of the business and more kind of handling strategy, you know, long-term initiatives, building out processes, and worry about more of the high-level stuff.
Excellent. I think that's everyone's goal. Where would you like people to learn more?
You can visit, we have two websites actually. You can visit myseosucks.com. On there, we cover basically any type of SEO kind of resource you're looking for, whether it's keyword research, content marketing, digital PR, you know, social media promotion, all that. And then we have a awesome SEO platform where you can actually buy, you know, one-off deliverables, content, links, SEO campaigns at searcheye.io.
Excellent. Well, Chris, it's been a pleasure. I thank you for your time and sharing your wisdom.
That's great. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right, Expert Authority World, we have another great episode here today. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day and God bless. You're already the expert, but have you transformed your expertise into a tangible asset that will generate and qualify leads while increasing profit for you 24/7? And if so, how well are you promoting it? With the Expert Authority Effect publishing method, it's easier and faster than ever. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com. Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know I sure did. If you haven't done so already, I invite you to subscribe to the show. And also be sure to check out eainterviews.com for complete show notes, the full interview video experience, links to the resources we mentioned, and more. Have a blessed day, and I'll see you tomorrow.